listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And an early good evening, folks, to you guys out there. For we're 3 minutes early here on the show, but turn you up.
Yeah, number three. No, over here. There you go.
You can't hear me over there. So
I can't hear you over
yeah.
there.
So anyway, we are on the show here. We went on the air a little bit unexpected. We were doing some other things to set up the show, but now we're here. We got an early start, so we will start right away. Well, before we go into COVID updates, yeah, I guess let's go into COVID updates for today. Let's go there.
All right, let's do that. You know, it's unfortunate, again, that we still find our numbers extremely high here in Kentucky. As of today, 3,481 new cases, 16 new deaths today. That's a high number. We've not seen those numbers in a while, in a sense. Total cases, 209,136. Total deaths, 2,118. When you look at those numbers, there are almost 11,000 patients hospitalized. Currently, there are 8,627 inpatient beds, 1,202 ICU beds, and 599 ventilators. Those numbers, again, way too high. The positivity rate, 9.32. Again, when you look at these numbers, David, you know what? On one hand, I would have thought, especially under the circumstances after the governor announced several weeks ago before Thanksgiving, at that point, I would have thought this two-week span basically probably would have curtailed some of these numbers. Unfortunately, they're not necessarily going down to the extent that we probably would have expected under those circumstances.
No, but I think as the governor said a couple of days ago, the numbers actually look like they have, we're on eight. I know 3,400 cases is a lot. Yesterday we had, I can't remember what yesterday's number were, but it was down. Monday's number was down, and we're talking down as far as in the past couple weeks.
Right.
And today's number is actually down for a Wednesday. Now, 3,400 is going to get you in your top 10. But it's we're not growing the number, if that's the right thing to say. Like you and I both expected it to grow by this week. We thought it would, the Thanksgiving deal where all the folks out at Thanksgiving holidays, it just hasn't really hit yet. And if it hasn't, that's a good thing. And if this is the hit, then we're about where we were. So it had really a negligible effect, if any, as far as what the numbers had been in the past. Prior to Thanksgiving, the numbers were larger, and last week the numbers were large. But the local numbers, would you have the local numbers for today? Have they released those yet?
I do. Here in Powell County, there are 8 new cases. 2 individuals have met the criteria for recovery. So the total case count in Powell County from the beginning, 577, 493 have recovered. That leaves 76 active cases here and 8 deaths. So again, 8 new cases here as of today. Yesterday it was 9, I believe,
9
the number of cases. So again, 76 active cases, down from what it was before. But at the same time, 76 is still a lot of people.
Well, when you have 9 yesterday, 8 today, we're still talking about the period in Powell County where the number is actually growing. State numbers may be staying the same. They've been maybe going on the flattened trend. But Powell County's numbers, we've actually reduced since I think they took a hit at the nursing home and at the jail. But now these are just folks catching COVID out in the community. I know of about 5 of these, I think, that I've heard the names mentioned in the last, or several of these people. And probably all in the same pot. So if you kind of look at it that way, you got to be careful as far as where you're going, what you're doing, who you're with. Because here's the problem. If you go places and do things that are questionable, and that is going around people who aren't masked, then you're possibly going to bring it home to your family. And let's say there's 10 individuals with COVID in 10 different households, but those 10 were together. Let's just say hypothetical. If the 10 take it back to their individual families, and they have families of 2 or 3, you're talking about 30 exposures, direct exposures. And that's not counting the people that you've been in contact with directly on the other hand. So 10 cases gets you a minimum of 30 and possibly hundreds of 10 different exposures. So that's why the difficulty now with the contact tracing here locally, there's not enough staff at the Powell County Health Department to be able to do it well enough to do it justice. I actually saw a post today where one individual has said they tested positive, and that was kind of their way of letting people know, if you were around this person, then I'm positive. And I guess that's a good way of doing it. It's on Facebook, and they're sharing that with folks, and hopefully their friends follow. And if they've had a direct contact, then there you go. Now, when you contacted them and all that, now that's the next step. When it was, how long was it, all those other little things we kind of worry about on a contact. But the numbers aren't, to me, I'll say this again, 3,000 is way too many. 3,400 is our number today. Again, the number is not rising like I thought it would rise. I thought we may hit the 4,000 mark by this week. Maybe my pessimistic thinking is a positive for this number, but I really thought it would be worse than what it is. I don't know where we're going with it. I don't know how much worse it's going to get. I know the 14th is the date that the governor has said that he's going to release some of the closures.
Restrictions.
I guess they weren't closures. They were just limitations. And now you're going to have 50% seating in restaurants. That's going to be back. No, I've not heard the numbers on the bars yet, but restaurants back to 50% capacity. It's good news for our restaurant folks. But if you are showing a trend of cases coming from restaurants, then you're opening it back up for the public to more exposures to possibly COVID.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that, to me, by closing those, the numbers haven't necessarily gone down as much as we would have thought.
But maybe they're going down more than, they're not going up like they would.
That could be true, too. Yeah, and obviously, you know, our hearts go out to business owners, especially those restaurants, you know, that you can only get so much business with carryout. You know, when people are wanting to eat out, they're wanting to go eat out and dine in, as opposed to mostly carry out under the circumstance. So obviously our heart goes out to those business owners under those circumstances. I'm kind of surprised, though, that the numbers haven't. And I get, obviously, we throw in Thanksgiving, you know, potentially people traveling, that kind of thing. I mean, maybe that's why the offset of the restaurant closures, in a sense, and now you have the people traveling for Thanksgiving, and maybe that's the balance.
And if that's the case, though, maybe you want to stay closed longer. And I'm not, trust me, restaurant folks, I'm not getting on that.
Sure.
Getting on that. I'm just saying, if the numbers are working to your advantage on getting the numbers lower, if that's our goal, is to lower our numbers, then if it's working, as hard as it is, stay with it. Let's get our numbers back to a good number. And I don't even know what a good number is. I won't say 1,000 cases a day is a good number, because it's not. It's still way too high. Whenever we get back to 1,000 cases a day, I guess we'll have a little celebration. But right now, it's we're not there. And again, if the things are working, then maybe you don't change a lot. But I think I haven't heard from the governor today. I don't think they had a briefing today. But I'm expecting on the 14th, they said that they would not keep the restaurants closed anymore past the 14th. Now, I don't know if it's political pressure or if it's pressure from the businesses, what it's from. But again, if it's working, to me, you stay with it. If it wasn't working, then it didn't really matter. How do you know if it worked or it didn't work? That's the big question.
Yeah, I don't think they'll know the answer, right? I'm not so sure that there's a way to arrive exactly at a conclusion that, yes, it's been beneficial or no, it has not. Obviously throwing in the Thanksgiving holiday within that. But when you go back and look at some of those initial numbers in a sense, and I can't remember where I saw this report. It's been several weeks ago. But restaurants were kind of at the bottom of the list as far as where some of those cases were originating.
Okay.
Not so much the bars, but yet at the restaurants, because at that point people were social distancing. Obviously, when you're coming in, you're having to wear your mask. Obviously, you can take it off while you're eating. But in general terms, restaurants weren't necessarily one of those that's just like, oh, it's astronomical in a sense, creating that problem. Of course, they're the ones that are going to be hit because that's where you have different populations mm-hmm. that are coming and going within that framework. But at the same time, Lowe's isn't closed. Walmart's not closed. So therefore, I think as a restaurant, I'm not a restaurant owner, but I'm saying as a restaurant owner, that would be my argument saying, well, why am I being penalized when these other businesses you're allowing to remain open?
The only argument there, and I see this as well, when you're a retail business, you're going into Lowe's, Walmart, whatever the business is, if you go into those places, you're usually going in for a couple minutes. You're not standing in the same place. You're moving around the store. You don't come in contact for a lot of people. I try to stay away from folks when I go to these places. I'm going to go in, get what I need, and get out. If I go to a restaurant, and it's a nice restaurant, I think I'm there for a minimum of 45 minutes to an hour, eating, talking, doing whatever, and relaxing, which is maybe the problem. And in some cases, and I'm not saying this for all restaurants, I have been in a couple restaurants since this started, just a couple. And one of the restaurants I actually went to, I don't think they really followed the protocol. And that wasn't here locally. That was in Western Kentucky. When I went in, I'm thinking, okay, we're supposed to be at 50% capacity. They were more like 80% capacity. I mean, almost every table was full. Now, they did have plexiglass up around every booth and table. And maybe that's a way around the six-foot thing, but I haven't seen any guidance that said the plexiglass is a change from 6 feet. So if I'm in a plexiglass area here and there's people right next to me, the aisle isn't plexiglass. We can't just force the plexiglass to happen there. So to me, there are ways. You're sitting back to back to the table next to you. Let's say there's a table full and it's not supposed to be. I'm sorry, but that's not 6 feet of distance. There is plexiglass, but it's not 6 feet.
Well, I think probably more than likely the restaurants that are choosing that option are probably thinking, I've lost out on so much revenue.
Yeah.
I'm going to cheat the system.
Push it just a touch.
Correct. I'm going to push. That's a good word. I'm going to push it and see what I can get, because at that point, who's showing up from the health department?
Correct.
Right. That's all of a sudden going to write somebody up because you've exceeded capacity. Probably more not likely to occur. So therefore, if no one's showing up, I'm going to kind of keep pushing that a little bit and see if I can't fill up as much as I can.
Think about it this way. In the old days, let's go back to the 30s and 40s for just a second, just because if you're a political figure and you were in the business of shutting businesses down, you probably got a pretty good check from folks to stay open. I'm not saying that's still happening today, but there's a lot of pressure. If I'm a multi-business owner, I have four or five establishments. I'm pushing it on all four or five establishments. If you come in to write me up on my businesses, and I'm a big time, I can get you a lot of votes, or I can take a lot of votes away from you, you may stay away from those places. I'm not saying that's still out there. The corruption like that is still out there. I'm sure in some communities it probably is. But I'm not, again, I wouldn't say anybody here locally would be that way. But those things happen, and they've happened for a reason for a long time. Now, is that part of the problem? I say probably. But it is what it is. Here in Powell County, you know, I think a lot of people for a long time thought, well, it's not really going to get that bad here. I may have said this in here. I know I said it to Dee and the girls at home. I think until we have deaths of people that we know and that the other people know, people won't wake up. Now we've seen 8 deaths, which to me is a lot for this small community. And we've seen now people who have had COVID, because numbers have gone up, that are still having symptoms months after the fact. That being said, for those, some of those people who are still having symptoms months later, these are some of the same people who questioned the virus validity a few months ago. Now they've switched gears. I pray for all that catch it. I don't want anybody to get real sick, but it is happening. There are people who, okay, if it's a COVID-related death, is COVID causing a lot of deaths? I think it is causing more than people want to give credit to COVID. Is it causing you to die earlier than you would? I think so. That's, in my opinion, that's the cause of a death. If I die 2 months earlier than I would have died because I had cancer or whatever it was, that's 2 months. I mean, that's just, you know, I wish I could have a day with my dad if I knew he had 2 months. You know, that those kinds of things. And these people now are getting sick and in hospitals and nobody can go see them.
And that's really probably the most unfortunate aspect of it, is that people are having to separate themselves and realizing, like you said, that if someone has underlying health conditions and ends up getting COVID, obviously the complications that someone could have based on that, especially the way it attacks the lungs. You know, when people can't breathe under those circumstances, and let's say that someone has COPD as an example, obviously COVID has accelerated the COPD in a sense as far as not being able to breathe, and therefore, you know, they pass under those circumstances.
And to me, it is a contributing factor in most, if not all, of these deaths. And as Dee put this to me the other day, if I had COVID and I was driving down the road and got hit by a train, what killed me? The train. I will give you that one. But if I have COVID and I have heart disease and I have a heart attack because my heart has been stressed because of COVID, there's a COVID relationship with my heart attack. That's to me, it's just easy to kind of figure out. If you disagree with that, that's fine. We'll just agree on that one. But, and I'm not talking to you, I'm just talking to the listeners. You don't have to agree with me, but it's a stretch if you go the other way. I just think it really is a contributing factor. So be safe, wash your hands, social distance, wear your mask. I know the flu cases, at least in Ohio, they said it's the tri-state area, the numbers have been very negligible. From last year's numbers, not even close to where we were last year with the flu. And that, guess what, is probably because of mask, washing your hands, and distancing, doing it the right way. We're kind of eliminating one illness for another, but we could knock out with two birds if we would just follow that guideline and simply just follow those for a while and see if it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, and at this point, because of the fact we are not socializing like we normally would, therefore, that could be a contributing factor as far as the flu as well.
Yes.
It's not had a chance to, you know, make its way around because we are socially distanced, you know, from each other. I will say this, too, just real quick, that, you know, the total number of deaths, obviously, from the age of 50 on up to over 80, those are majority of the deaths. However, when you look at the number of cases, they're all pretty close as far as the total number of cases in the various age groups. So realizing that obviously the elderly population has succumbed to, you know, COVID, unfortunately, there's still enough people, you know, probably the largest group, which blew my mind when I saw the statistic, the total number of cases here in Kentucky, 39,160 have been between the age of 20 and 29.
Yeah.
The most of any age group. But yet, during that age group, there's only been one death that has occurred from that.
But who have those 29,000?
39,000,
excuse me. Who are those 39,000 spread the virus to that may have succumbed to COVID? That is the bigger issue. It's not that they're dying. It's just they may be passing it to others who may get sick and have worse complications. I do know several individuals right now who are positive with COVID and are young and are really sick. So, again, hearts and prayers go out to those folks, but understand this was never a joke. You just happen to get the worst end of it for right now. So hopefully you'll get better to have a shorter problem than most folks. But again, we only wish you the best of luck. We're a little bit late on a break, but you got a pretty good COVID update from at least Ken and I. Whether we're Dr. Fauci's or not, I don't know. But
We're not.
But anyway, we'll come back with some sports news. We got some big stuff coming up here after the break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
If you haven't driven the new Ram truck, you haven't driven one of the most exciting, powerful trucks in the country. During the Black Friday sales event going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton, the best deals of the year are in full force. 0% financing and rebates up to $10,000 on new Ram trucks. From one of the best riding trucks in the 1500 series to the workhorse Cummins diesel, they're all on sale and priced to move. If you're thinking about a new truck and haven't looked at the Ram, you don't know what you're overlooking. Great deals and a great place to buy. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Call them at 606-663-2856.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. And as always, Appalachian Wireless has the most unbelievable sale. Appalachian Wireless has made shopping for the holidays safe and more accommodating to meet the needs of our customers. The one-day sale of years past is now a rest-of-the-year sale. Simply visit one of our 27 retail locations and get what you need through the end of the year. Or reserve online to make an appointment for the phone you want, and we'll call you when it's ready. Happy holidays. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. Now we'll get to some sports. Again, we've talked a lot about COVID, and this show is really about COVID and its impact on sports. I do want to remind you guys, while we do the COVID update every week, this show is basically a COVID impact and the COVID impact on sports here locally and nationwide. So first of all, as we talked to Darryl last week, he is the chair of the policy board. They have another meeting tomorrow, I don't know what they're going to decide. I have heard, and this wasn't from Darryl, but I have heard that there is discussion with the KHSA to push back basketball start. And we're already back. Presently, we're starting practice on the 14th, games on the 4th of January. I saw a thing today. Somebody responded to they had got the information, they said, from the KHSA or from another coach, that the proposal was going to be January 4th start of practice, January 14th. Start of games. That would go up into the end of April with basketball. Now, the next question is, if it goes that long, what's the carryover effect of between winter seasons and the spring season. So I just kind of go to you with what your thoughts are on the changes, if they are happening.
I think on one hand, if they decided to delay the start and push practice to January 4th, I could see them doing that, and understandably so.
Yes.
At the same time, to me, if you're going practices on the 4th, now you're talking 2 weeks.
10 days.
Yeah, right. 10 days, and all of a sudden you have your first game. Well, you can't – there's no way in that short period of time, in a sense, that you can really get things established for your team, whether it's offense, defense, conditioning, for that matter. You know, because obviously you're still limited on what you're even doing. To me, it wouldn't surprise me. I almost would consider throwing caution to the wind and saying, let's go on and have practices starting the 14th and go on and start games January 4th. And if we have to at that point, we come back the 1st of January, January 3rd as the example. Then if we need to, then guess what? We push it back at that point. But I think if we continue to, you know, we've set this schedule. Now all of a sudden, no, we're going to change the schedule. Then we're going to change the schedule. You're going to change the schedule. I mean, to me, from a mental point of view, I think that students would probably become disinterested because at that point, something else is going to occupy their time.
Yes.
Now, if I'm not conditioning and I'm not practiced and I'm not, you know, looking forward to a season, then at that point, how committed am I? Yeah, maybe not so much. So therefore, what team are you really putting out on the floor compared to what you could have had we started, you know, right before Thanksgiving, for that matter?
Yeah, I'll give you a little quick analogy. You know, when I was an active teacher 4 years ago, you know, I was coaching three sports. I was coaching golf in the fall, basketball in the winter, softball in the spring, and in the middle doing radio broadcasts when I could. When I retired from teaching, I also retired. I dropped the basketball portion of the coaching job. I kept the golf, kept the softball, but in the winter I was off. Here's what I learned. I like my time off. Now, that being said, some of these kids have had time off. They've never had off before. If these kids enjoy other things at their time, I think the kids will probably be ready to chop it a bit to do something. But they may actually find another activity they like more than going out and working hard to participate in a sport. If your kids lose interest in sports because of a long layoff, that's another problem. Also, you run into, if you push basketball back, and I'm not knocking basketball. I understand they want their season. But right now, if you push it back to January 4th, with the start of the 14th, that's 10 days of conditioning. I don't know which coaches agree to that. I think they're probably saying, well, we'll get it done. You're pushing the kids' limits a little bit with 10 days of conditioning, trying to get work. And I understand you're not putting the best product on the floor on the first week of the season. You're still kind of playing scrimmage games that first week. COVID's still going to be around in January. You're going to have shutdowns. You're going to have delays. You're going to have other issues. That's going to happen. But you shorten your season. Right now, the season ends in March. If you start in January, now you're down to probably a six-week season if you end on a regular time. They'll get your eight-week season in. You move it back into April. Moving it to April causes another issue with basketball is – because of you have track, and they're just talking about Powell County, track, softball, and baseball. Other communities have more sports than those three. We had a softball coach association meeting on, I think it was Monday, and we're asked to come together with a plan to submit to the KHSA our recommendation for what to do for our season. And, you know, we didn't want to really push things back too far. I guess we were okay if you wanted to start 1st of April, you know, push it back 2 weeks like you've done everybody else, push it back 2 weeks and still try to end on a regular time. Because if you go way up into June, which is the new proposal for softball, is from what I understand, is push back a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks into April, end in the end of June. Now, here's what you do to baseball and softball, folks. School ends before the end of May. You're not going to have any snow days this year because you're already on virtual remote learning. Therefore, your kids are going to be graduating. They're out for the summer. They're going to lose a lot of interest really quick on nice 80-degree days that they usually don't see during baseball and softball season. You've got travel teams that start up, and you've got elite teams that start up that may take some of your best players from your high school teams because, honestly, more colleges look at you playing elite ball than they do your high school ball. That being said, of all the issues we run into in the spring, every year we run into, you know, there's prom, there's graduation, there's honors night, and those are all, you know, honestly, really good things. But it's always interruptions for our schedule. You know, we have spring break right in the dab middle or beginning of our season. A lot of teams travel, but teams like us that don't have a lot of money, we can't travel. But this year, nobody's going to get to travel. I don't think anyway in April. So there's a lot of problems pushing basketball back until the late April that it causes for spring sports, especially with multiple sport athletes.
I think that obviously the issues that you rose, you know, that you mentioned there are great examples because I think ultimately the kids, the more you delay, the less interest that I have in it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I even know people as far as, you know, professional sports, they were already over it. You know what I'm saying? Whether it was the NBA or otherwise, it was just like, I found something else to occupy my time. I'm not going to go back to that. Correct. Yes. I'm not going to go back to that. Now, as a player, you know, at that point, like you said, now all of a sudden you have high school graduation and they're still supposed to be playing. But
for a month.
Right. But if I'm a senior, though, and all of a sudden this is my last summer in theory,
yeah,
before I go off to college or whatever I might do or join the workforce, whatever, well, last thing I will be doing is playing softball and spending that time doing that when I'm running out of time before I'm venturing into other things. So, again, you're losing interest and or even the elite teams.
We could always sell a week. You know,
sure,
we always
agreed.
We always play into June, but we always play into the 1st of June. We never really play beyond, I guess, the 6th or 7th or 8th of June. Pushing it back to 26th or 27th to me is just a killer for the sport of softball and baseball. That's my opinion. I just think we'd have too many folks lose interest. Now, if we were probably a top 10 school in softball in the state of Kentucky or baseball, then maybe we could keep them interested a little bit longer. That knocks out everybody in Eastern Kentucky. I mean, honestly, it just, forget it.
Right.
Because you guys, we're not the top 10 in any sport, anytime, anywhere. You know, maybe some every now and then you'll find a football team or basketball team that is really good, or you find a really good pitcher somewhere that can really dominate a game, then maybe Eastern Kentucky might have somebody that's top 10. But normally, no. And which kids lose interest the fastest? The ones that are probably just mediocre. And you're mediocre because you don't love the game as much as others do, or you haven't had the training that others have, so you haven't had the love that they have to play. So there's all kinds of problems, and this is one of the years where normally, I think last year, I think I had maybe only three or four kids that played basketball. This year, the Powell County softball team has 9 that are basketball, girls basketball players, then softball players. I think we counted up, I think there was 9 that we expect to come out for softball this year. Now, let's say we start softball in March. They don't change softball baseball start time. Basketball's going to go to end of April. The kids that love softball are still playing basketball. And I know Ken's listening. But the kids that play both may have to make a decision. And not that I'm going to ask them to make a decision, but they're missing what they might love more. Let's say they're a 8th or 9th person that never gets into a game. Then it's an easy call. I'm going to play the other sport now because
maybe I'm a starter.
I'm a starter, maybe I'm going to stay with basketball a little bit longer.
Well, I'm saying if I'm a starter in softball and I'm that 8th or 9th player off the bench,
it's easy to make the move.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to go play second base or shortstop or something because I'm going to play because, well, I'm not playing over here. So therefore, thanks, coach, but it's time for me to go.
And let's take baseball for an example. If you've got 2 kids that are 2 of your best pitchers and they're playing basketball and they're having a weak season, But they're starters, let's say. But they're really good baseball players, and they got a chance to win some games. They may jump ship as well. And what's that do to your program? Again, asking kids to choose, to me, is the wrong thing to do also. And when I talk to the coaches about this, when the coaches talk about this on Monday, a lot of the coaches didn't have a lot of kids who played both. And I think that's probably one of our problems in softball is I don't push that they only play softball. I want them to play more sports. But if we're going to get into that push and shove thing, I don't want to go there. It's not right for the kid. Maybe that makes us a better program if I say, okay, you need to pick which one you want to play. I'm not ever going to do that as a coach, but maybe the program would be better if we did that. And, again, it's not something that I would do. And trust me, Ken, I'm not going to do that. But these are thoughts that are out there with coaches, with players. When you keep pushing things back, and again, you're taking your – now you're taking my summer away from me. You know, that's
sure.
What you're going to hear from parents. You know, we've given up all this time, and, you know, if you complain, I want to say, well, last year we didn't even have a season. Let's take what we get and play this year. And I say the same thing for basketball, folks. You know, play when you can. Now I think, you know, I talked to Ken today a little bit and asked him, I said, are you aware of all this stuff's going on? And he said no. And he made a really great point, and I'll point this out before we take a break, that if we would have started practice next week on the 14th, and the COVID numbers are what they are here in the community, we're not practicing in Powell County. What you're doing in Lee County and Estill County are maybe different. You may be going in the gym and having practice, because even though you're red, their district may say, okay, we're going to go ahead and practice to get our teams ready. Who's at a disadvantage? Our kids are. And not that that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing to try to keep your kids safe. I'm just saying there are schools who will say, let's just go ahead and start practice. Now you're a week or 2 weeks ahead of the other teams, and that is an advantage. And that's something I think also that, you know, when the KHSA looks at this, they've got to be able to be strict on who's doing what. And I always know it's always left up to the districts themselves to govern what they're seeing happen. That don't happen much either. So,
no, you're right.
It's just kind of a problem.
Well, I think what's interesting, too, is that, you know, going back to one of your points, is that if all of a sudden now the last thing you want to do is to try and recruit players off of the basketball team to say, hey, you know, why don't you come on out, right? Why don't you come on and join us, even though you have a season left? Why don't you come on over here? And next thing you know, internally within districts, you could potentially have issues like that where someone is undercutting another program because, hey, my star player, I need them on my team more than you need them on your team, in theory, to be selfish. So therefore, hey, I'm going to try and recruit you to go on and come on out. And what's interesting, too, going back to even football, is that the amount of time that they were actually able to practice, when you look at the Powell County football team, injuries from the get-go, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, had there been more time to condition and or practice, or those eliminated? Maybe, maybe not. We'll never know. But the fact that now you're going to have a shorter window before you start playing those games, are there going to be more injuries? You know, are kids going to, you know, taking themselves out in a sense where they're gassed earlier, quicker, because they've not conditioned? You know, that will create a problem in and of itself.
In the past couple of years, Powell County boys basketball and girls basketball both condition at least 2 to 3 months prior to the season. That's not getting to happen this year because of COVID restrictions, and practice time has been limited. So there's a lot of issues with conditioning, a lot of issues with the strength training, and we'll jump into that a little bit more after the break, but we're behind on our breaks, but we'll be back in a moment here on PCSN Live with David Ken.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents
agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
Welcome back to COVID Sports 2020.
Right.
Yeah, we are.
Unfortunately.
We are going through all the negatives, I guess, as far as scheduling concerns. And you know, we mentioned football a while ago. We had several issues, and we talked about this off the air a little bit. Several issues here in Powell County. You had a coach resign last year, Josh Kincaid. Mike took the job this year, Mike Jones. And it was a little late when they hired Mike, but it was about the time to start conditioning for the winter. It was a little after that, and then we got shut down to COVID. So there was really no really strength training program whatsoever for his team this year, like in the past. And you know, when we talked to Mike, several of the injuries were probably due to no training, no strength training. Now, some schools got the strength train right on because they didn't have the coaching change in the middle. So they got a little bit of strength training before they got shut down, you know, like in March. That being said, every football coach I've ever talked to said the most important time of their season is the preseason. So your weight training program after the season starts, and, you know, this is not a one-year thing. They're still off. You know, this will be the time where probably they're getting ready to get, I know it's not even over with football season, but you're talking about probably December and January season would start to just, you really get your kids back in the gym and start lifting some weights. You've had a month or two off. Let's get back and start working again. That's normally what schools do. And by January, you're back in the weight room. Hopefully those things can happen, but I just don't see it, at least here, because of the restrictions. You know, you're pulling too many kids away from this program. You don't want to do that. You don't want to step on toes. Man, it's going to be interesting here this spring. You know, and I'm talking about spring, the beginning of January of 2021. That how the effects of COVID, without, let's say there's no COVID in January, which there will be, but let's say there's no COVID, you've still got a huge amount of problems. You're going to have to figure out what's going on with your sports programs, even your schools. You know, January 4th is over. Are they back to school, I think, now? And again, I can see the governor doing the same thing with anything else. Let's push it back again. I don't think really, I know the superintendent doesn't want to push it back anymore. I think that, you know, and I understand. But again, January 4th to me, I think is a kind of a crazy date. I think you wait at least. I'm not saying you wait till the 9th, but whatever. If I don't know what the 4th is on. Do you know what the 4th is on?
Tuesday, I believe.
Why not wait till the following Monday? Give yourself that 2 weeks incubation period, or 10 days incubation period after Christmas. Give your and New Year's. Give your folks another 4 or 5 days to start back. There's no, now virtually the 4th is fine, but if you're back in person, why not go back about, you know, 4 or 5 days later, and November 8th or 9th, 10th, or January 8th, 9th, 10th, somewhere along those lines, just to give yourself enough room to where if there are problems, you see them before they become problems later.
But on one hand, what we kind of talked to, you know, when we first kind of started, but what is that magic number?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what is that magic number when going back to last spring when everything was shut down and you lost the softball baseball seasons, the case number obviously was nowhere even near what we are now.
Negligible.
Exactly. Yeah. So now at this point, though, what is that magic number that says, you know what, we're a go and we're going to, you know, we're going to ride it out and see where it is? I don't know if anybody even has that answer, but there has to be a number or at least a positivity rate number or something that they're basing this on that we're going to jump back in and now everything, you know, we can have all of these
right activities. Now you can't go when you're red. That's 25%.
Correct. And I meant to say this
at
earlier.
At least that's a mark.
I meant to say this earlier, too. Last week there were six counties that were not red, and now we're down to three.
Yeah.
So there's still three counties out there that are holding out, and hopefully they hold out.
Now, what does that tell you, though?
Well, obviously the numbers can continue to get worse,
see,
right?
That but it tells me this. These are the smaller communities that weren't impacted early.
Sure.
So now it's spread to all the rural areas and the urban areas. And I hate to say this, but they're still getting slammed in the urban areas. Again, you're seeing 3,000 cases a day. Your death numbers are going up because your case count is going up. And, you know, I see people all the time say, well, 99.7. I think we need to do a math lesson because I just don't think the numbers equate. I should do some quick math on my calculator to figure that out. But all you got to do is divide the number of deaths into cases, and you got your percentage of deaths. It's not rocket science to figure out. But I do think that it's beyond 1%. I do think it's higher than that. And a lot of people say it's less than that. Again, I didn't figure it out just in my head. I don't think it is. It's just too many people have died of COVID from March until December the 9th, 2020. We've had this thing for now for, 9 months, I guess, and we're pushing 300,000 deaths. We didn't lose that many in a lot of wars we fought. I mean, it's just, this is a rough year. I don't care what people say. If it's not real, 1%, whatever it is, it's too many.
Well, let's just hope that 2020 just leaves and goes away and we never revisit it.
It will in about 30 days or 22 days, I guess.
Let's just hope that 2021 is a lot nicer to everyone in many respects, because the last thing we need to have happen is for this to carry on much longer into 2021. We know it's still going to be around.
Yeah.
But to restrict everything that's actually happening, you know, whether it's the restaurants, the businesses, et cetera, and it still goes back to me, like, what is that number that would make the governor to turn around and on the 13th or 14th, whatever the end date is, to say, okay, now restaurants can do this, other businesses can do that. Again, what is that number that he's making that decision that now it's okay to reopen and have 50% capacity? Again, is it the positivity rate? Is it the number of cases? Like, what are you basing that on? Because you go back a couple of weeks ago when he did this, those numbers aren't necessarily any different than they are today. So, again, I'd be curious to know what that is.
Like I said earlier, they have at least plateaued for the time being.
Sure.
But if it's because of the restrictions you placed, then you should keep them on.
Agreed. Yes. And, again, it's nothing against any business or anybody that's being affected by that as much as that would be the reality of it.
If restrictions are working, you don't change it.
Right.
But as we have seen, I think there has been a little pressure caving going on, and I'm a Andy supporter, so I know a lot of you guys out there aren't. I am. I think he's doing the best that he can, but in my opinion, he's gave a little bit under pressure from, and I understand that too. It's a tough call. People losing their livelihoods, and you don't want to be responsible for that, and I totally get it. So,
not trying to be political by any means, but on one hand, we know who Beshear ran against to be governor. Let's go back and look how potentially things would be had we had the prior governor.
I'm just throwing that out there. I think we
not
would have
to be political, but
out the roof. But anyway, that's just me. We're going to take another break. Come back and talk more here on PCSN Live with Dave again.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Ridgeville. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Welcome back to PCSN Live with David Ken. While we're off the air, we're having a big political debate in here, but that's all well and good, and we won't go there with you guys because it might make some people upset with us. We won't.
We might start another show.
And get political. We have a lot of fun talking politics. I know that for sure. But
no matter which side we take.
No, and to me, and I said this a little bit off the air, all sides right now have kind of messed us over because they won't work together. That's their fault.
Correct.
So, yeah. I mean, until we have groups of elected officials working together, we don't have much to cheer for.
Some way, somehow, we need to be able to fire them.
Fire them all.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And start all over again.
I don't care what color, red, blue, what, it doesn't matter to me. Just start all over with
common sense
500 different Americans going into those jobs. That's just, I don't know. This way I see it. Anyway, back to the COVID a little bit. And sports, as we know it, again, we would much rather be doing a broadcast than covering COVID on an hour show and covering our sports. And we feel for our sponsors, but that's why we are doing this show, is to bring you as much information as we can about what's going to happen in the spring. And again, the sponsors are not going to lose a lot of games. It's just when they're getting played. So now, I think basketball is talking about limiting 3 games per week. Softball and baseball hasn't been changed on limits yet. It could happen. So when you are playing, I think we're going to be really busy. I think our nights are going to be long, and you're going to be having a basketball game, boys or girls, almost every night. And you'll be hearing a lot of airtime from us during season when and if it starts. Now, I think the KHSA needs to come up with something the state does. If the numbers continue to be high, if we're going to shut down schools, and I'm a coach, if it's not safe to go to school, it shouldn't be safe to play an athletic event. And that's coming from me as a coach. So we need restrictions as well. And I think our district has done a really good job with that, because when the numbers get too high, we just shut down. I think is the logical thing to do to protect the folks here locally. I know a lot of people would disagree with what I just said, and that's, we should be entitled to our own opinions. That's just the way it is. If we have a game, where's the value on the importance of a game versus the importance of a life?
It's no comparison.
So, I mean, last year when we shut down softball and baseball, my fear was if somebody gets this thing, somebody that we know, dies because they came to a game. It wasn't worth it to play any game. And I hate it for our kids, and it was awful. But it wasn't worth what I thought the trade-off was. And yet this year, we have been out there going like really nothing's going on. we've continued with the activities. Now, we haven't, and this is even national numbers, we haven't seen a lot of spread at games. We haven't seen a lot of, really, I haven't seen any study that shows any spread at games. And haven't seen a lot of in-sport games that people are having problems with, except for inside the team itself. But I really haven't seen a lot of spread during games or one team to another. Sometimes the numbers look pretty good. These are mostly outdoor events until we get back to indoor, which we've always said is a problem. But we had a volleyball season. Really, I didn't hear of any reports of any cases during volleyball, which is all good things. But now we are into the middle of fall and COVID season. What do we do? I mean, there has to be a point to where we're not playing. The districts will decide that. And as Ken said, it's not fair to our kids to not get to practice when these counties are. We've said that all season. This county's playing red. This one's not. And now we've got 117 counties that are red. Obviously, they're playing anyway with football. But, you know, we've had even teams opt out last week. Had three teams opt out of the quarterfinals. I'm not sure you'll have anybody opt out this week or not, but maybe. I mean, you've got 2 weeks left, and you may have cancellations this week because the numbers are getting high again, and somebody has got to have a level head somewhere and make a decision on set. It's not the right thing to do. Whether or not we want to play the sport or not, that's a whole different story. But is it the right thing to do?
Well, on one hand, though, again, I love our conversations at times, you know what I'm saying? But to think that during volleyball, there wasn't much of a change as far as cases or anything. No. So therefore, if we're using that as the litmus, we're all in on basketball, in. Right? I mean, you should be, right? If that was
if the surge had happened during volleyball, then there would be a different argument.
Yes. So the fact that there wasn't and we were able to compete and watch the games and matches and all of that, and now that was indoors, so therefore, what would be the difference now? Because the case numbers, not quite as high as they are now, but they were at least trending kind of in that way. So therefore, all right, if that's the case, then why not go forward and have basketball season and start you know, practices?
We do know this. We can't blame it on basketball season because they never got to start.
That's a good point.
So the surge did not happen because of high school basketball because we never started it. But you look out at the college level. Maybe we wish Kentucky would have got shut down, or they wouldn't have lost three games already. But I'm just being mean.
Well, here, since you segue to that, though, thank goodness.
I know what you're gonna say.
Thank goodness that Mark Stoops was wise enough, or somebody whispered in his ear that he needed to get rid of his offensive coordinator, and to boot, he got rid of his quarterback coach. I wasn't thinking about Henshaw at the time, but at least he made the smart move and decision to save his job. Now, yeah, granted, they scored 38 points or whatever it was against South Carolina. That's a mute point.
I'm not sure he had a choice.
He shouldn't have. There were too many grumblings.
I think it was a done deal.
Now, the question is, who does he get to come in?
Who wants to come here?
That's a good question, too. That's a good question, too.
You just went 4-6 in a conference season. Now, I will say this, 4-6 5 years ago, maybe six, maybe more, maybe 8 years ago, if we go 4-6 playing the schedule we play this year, woohoo, that's a pretty good year. But what the expectations of Kentucky football is now, it's a little bit higher than that. And whether it's fair or not, it is what it is. But you know, like you said, Eddie Grant's got to go. Last week you called it.
Well, on one hand, let's think about this. They're 4-6. Let's take away the three losses and throw in three cupcake games. And now,
bowl eligible.
Yeah, right now, yeah. Now you're, you know, potentially six and three, you know, 7-3.
This team is no different than last year's team. This is just a team that had to play a full SEC schedule versus a cupcake group of games where it's intermixed in that schedule. This team is no different really than last year's team.
To me, I say stick to your conference. Don't even play. I'll give you one game outside the conference because I'd still like to see Louisville and Kentucky play.
Yeah, maybe two.
Outside of that, stick to the full SEC or ACC, and you play within the conference, and let's see who the best is coming out of those conferences.
Well, you know, that would give you a true winner. You could have a playoff all season long.
Correct.
Yeah.
And at the same time, let's see how we measure up as far as Kentucky. Obviously, this year, they didn't measure up very well. Yeah. Now, blame that on any number of circumstances, but there you go.
Well, I mean, you look at Alabama ranked number one, and normally every year there's at least two teams in the top four in the SEC. always, almost in the last 5 years, I think it's every year, there's been two teams in the top four, and every one of the championship game, the other one kind of got bumped to five.
Right.
And sometimes they didn't even get bumped. They just stayed in the top four. This year, there's no two SEC teams in the top four because, guess what? They've been beating each other to death every week. And Alabama has risen to the top like we expected. Ohio State, on the other hand, we switched to the Big Ten, may get in with less games played than required to be eligible for the NEC championship.
I'm not so sure I agree with that. Honestly, I think that in the circumstances, when you look at the SEC, they play more games. And obviously with Ohio State, only five games that they've even played.
But required six to be eligible for a playoff spot.
And they're not going to get there.
Unless they schedule a game this week and somebody else cancels.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what I've heard may happen, is somebody just may cancel the last moment. We get another game with Ohio State. They get six. Now they're in the BCS.
Right. So who knows under those circumstances? But now
politics again.
Well, we know as well, though, whoever comes out as the champion, you know, in the bowl games or whatever else, will there be an asterisk beside it? Maybe, maybe not, you know.
If it's Alabama, why would it? Clemson, why? These two teams have been there anyway.
Well, listen, for me, I'm a Notre Dame football fan.
And they're in the top four.
Yeah, number two. I'll take that, and, yeah. I'm hoping for a championship because it's been, several decades at this point. But I'm a Notre Dame football college fan.
Who's three? Right now.
Is it Clemson?
I think you're right. So
and then
right
Ohio
now,
State is four.
This, I'm telling you, listen, if you had this matchup, you would watch it. Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame. Now, you talk about two matchups that would be hard to find anywhere. Whew, that would bring in some mighty dollar to the equation, and I think that's what the NCAA is looking for, is they want that mighty dollar in the big championship.
Well, on one hand, this would be the perfect season to extend it to eight. To me, I wish they would go eight anyway. I think you can go top eight, you know, and do a playoffs and go long. Texas A&M is
three more games.
Right. Texas A&M is right there. Don't count them out. Florida is still
somewhat. Oh, no, they're in the next tier. Yeah,
correct,
but
yes.
But not top four.
But I still feel like that they potentially, especially Texas A&M, a worthy team to be in a playoff situation to where they could have a chance.
And where did they come from, even?
Yeah, right.
You
That's
know,
a good
I mean,
question.
They've been down a couple of years, and now they're back and competing.
I think they're number five.
So we're going to take a break before we come back here, BCSN Live. Well, we're back. We took a break and didn't go anywhere. Oh, I know what happened. I hit a button that I shouldn't have hit. That's my fault. We're going to go ahead and continue with our break now.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protex Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protex Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to PCSN Live again. We got behind on our breaks on a couple of little episodes, I guess, if you will, here, many episodes of our show. And we have had actually, this has been a fun show because we've had a lot of back and forth and debate, and a lot of heated discussion, agreeing most of the time. But this could be a fun show if we have some heated discussion. We got to talk a little bit about politics in here, and it just got us both fired up a little bit. But anyway, a lot to be going on this week. Again, this would be your 2 weeks in, I guess, the basketball season would have been, and now we are awaiting the decision tomorrow on the KHSA policy board. And again, our thoughts and prayers with them. I'm making the best decision they can for the kids. And again, I know there's push for starting tomorrow or starting the 14th, and there's push for starting the 4th of January with practice. And we'll see how it goes tomorrow at the meeting. Again, it starts around 10. I'll be listening. I'm sure a lot of folks will. I almost wish they would just broadcast the thing on TV so everybody wouldn't have to watch on streaming. You know, this is something I think a lot of people in Kentucky would watch if it were actually on the air. But it is over the streaming. You can follow it, the decisions they're making. And we'll see the decisions made tomorrow. And, again, they're tough ones. It's the KHSA policy board on what to do. I don't think there is a right answer. I think every answer you give is going to be questioned.
I think it's the same thing with the governor.
Yeah.
Right? Regardless, people are going to be happy. People are going to be upset. You're in a no-win situation in many respects because half the people will agree and the other half won't agree. Ultimately, it goes back to they're doing what they think is in the best interest of the student-athletes to keep everyone safe and healthy. Be interesting to see what transpires. If it's me, I'm rolling the dice. Let's just go with it. Is much going to change? We at least know that if the cases continue to increase during that time frame, by the time January rolls around, guess what? Then we can delay. I feel like that we need to give the kids a hope in a sense that, you know, yes, the season's going to happen. Because otherwise, I think, again, mentally, I just think it's going to take its toll. And the more we delay, then at that point, the kids, again, there's disinterest. Yeah. Even to some extent, they're doing so much in front of their computers now in the same spot, the same location. Well, yeah, obviously there's, you know, countless students who aren't doing anything. You know, that's parental, just for the record, you know. But at the same time, though, realizing that they're in front of that, well, they don't even want to play computer games anymore because they're spending so much time in front of the computer doing class-type work and Zoom and whatever else that they don't even want to do that. So on one hand, you could flip the script and say, guess what? Now all of a sudden we have it. Now maybe you have kids who potentially are coming out to play sports that wouldn't necessarily play sports. And maybe you find a diamond in the rough.
I never thought about that perspective before. And when I said earlier we lose some kids, but I never thought about gaining.
Yeah, maybe a kid that dropped out in middle school, now all of a sudden they're in high school and it's just like, you know what, I'm bored to death. I think I might jump back in and play whatever that particular sport might be.
I never thought about it that way. I know we've run a little long, but again, those are all interesting things that could happen. And, you know, I'm sure our teams are wide open for everybody who wants to play. But, you know, like I said, we went from a spring last year where we had no spring sports. Pushing basketball back, in my opinion, damages what we would have going forward this year with spring sports because you're either going to make kids choose what to play or you're going to make kids in late June make a decision on whether to go on a family vacation that you haven't done in almost, 2 years. You know, and to me, you've had a lot of family time, don't get me wrong, but family time somewhere else sometimes is a good thing. And maybe by June or July next year, if the vaccine gets a good rollout and good reports, then maybe there's hope on the other side. I just don't think it's going to happen very, very quickly. I think this is a very long process that's going to take place with the vaccines that may take up until the next wave of COVID to start before a lot of people get the first wave, and then now it's the time for people who got the first wave to take the second wave. I just don't think there's an end in the near future. And as you said, every week, even with the vaccines, people are still going to be required to distance and wear the mask because everybody can't get the vaccine at the same time. We're just going to be so spread out on a limited number of cases. There's two vaccine protocol where take one, 2 weeks later, you go back for the other one. So you got all that going on. So I don't know. It's going to take a long time to get that many doses out. You know, I don't know how many people are in the United States.
Million plus.
I know there's at least 150 million that voted. So that's about 50% of the population that voted. So, you know, I don't know. It's a scary thought about how long we're going to go with this. But we will see. Hopefully we can do better. And again, if you don't mask, wash your hands and distance, we're going to keep this problem rolling right down the road if we're not careful. So be safe, and I hope you join us next week. We'll definitely have some updates on what happened tomorrow with the meeting, but we kind of gave you some hints on what I think is going to happen at the meeting tomorrow. But for Ken and myself, see you next week here on PCSN Live.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. 104.